Let's turn again in the Word of God to our text that we read together. We'll go to the first one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. With the Word of God open in our midst, let's unite our hearts in prayer and ask for the Lord's help and the Lord's grace this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that You've invited us to cast our care on Jesus today, to leave our worries and fears. And Lord, we come to Thee tonight and in prayer, we just cast ourselves at Thy feet again. We need Thee, Lord. We need Thee as we gather around the Word of God. Take, Lord, this simple Word. We put it into Your hand and we pray that You'll bless it tonight and use it to feed hearts and lives and give direction and encouragement for the days that lie ahead. We commit and commend our way to Thee, and we commit and commend the rest of the night to Thee. Grant unto us the help of God the Holy Spirit, and we pray that the mind of Christ might be in us, and the will of Christ might be done through us, for we ask this in His name and for His glory alone. There are those, and ye are familiar with them, no doubt, amongst the people of God, who believe that personal holiness, or it has been called entire sanctification, is attainable by a one-off experience. Sometimes this is referred to as a post-conversion experience, whereby the individual enters in to a fullness of the blessing of the Spirit of God that enables them to progress in Christianity as they've never done before. Some people even claim it enables them to live what they call Christian perfection, a perfect Christian life, or entire holiness. I believe over the years that this teaching has done great harm in the lives of many individuals, because the Word of God teaches us that sanctification, being made holy, it's not a one-off experience. Rather, it is a gradual experience. It is a progressive experience. It is a daily experience. It rather than being a one-off experience, it is the experience of a lifetime of walking with God. It's never presented in Scripture as a once and for all. Sanctification, rather, is instead a daily process. It is day by day following Christ. It is day by day growing in grace. It is day by day, oftentimes, battling with sin within and sin without, and walking in the pathway of holiness and of gospel righteousness. Sometimes it's a pathway that takes us up the hill of difficulty. Sometimes it takes us into the valley of humiliation. But it is a pathway, nonetheless, that day by day enables the believer to draw closer to God, and to be more and more conformed unto the image of God's own dear Son. Each of our four texts tonight, they emphasize a different aspect of this day-by-day growth in grace and walking with God. I want to encourage every believer here tonight, because growth in grace is of the absolute importance for all of us. And sometimes day-by-day, we fail to discern, have I progressed from yesterday? Have I really grown in grace? Have I really developed? But it's only when you've gone up the road a little bit that you realize the progress that you have really made. And I want tonight to consider with you this day by day, daily progression and growing in grace and walking in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ that our texts present to us. The first text in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, is in verse 23. The Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Of course, here we have daily discipleship. And daily discipleship is an absolute requirement of sanctification. This great chapter is, of course, one of the most noted in the Gospels that deals with discipleship. If you go back to the start of the chapter, we read of how the Lord Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them. So here we have the calling of the disciples and the sending forth of the disciples. And if we put all that in the context of verse 23, it takes on certainly a new significance to us, because Christ emphasized to his disciples that following him would be something that would occupy their lives daily. They were fishermen. They were used going out in the boats at certain seasons and at certain times. But now the Lord Jesus taught them, I have called you to follow me. And when you leave your boats and when you leave your nets, this is something that daily you're going to do. Daily you're going to do. And what significance that is to all of us, brethren and sisters, because following Christ is not just for Sunday. Following Christ is for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Following Christ is a daily business and the daily calling of all who would profess the Lord's name. It involves not only following daily, but it involves a daily denial of self. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. Now we all have to confess before Almighty God tonight that the hardest thing any of us are ever called to do is to deny ourselves, to deny self. The old nature craves attention, and the flesh never likes to be inconvenienced. Self always likes to come first. It's like standing in the queue. You never really like to stand out of the queue and to give your place in the queue for somebody else, because that's your place, that's your right. And none of us like to forfeit our rights in order that others might be helped and encouraged up along the way. But to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first requirement is not just following, but as we follow, denying self, denying our sinful selves. There's a price to be paid. Christ has to come first. We say those words that trip off our lips so very, very easily. But when Christ comes first, there is a huge price to be paid. If Christ comes first in discipleship, others come second. And then you might say, well, what about me? In this society we live in, self likes to be to the forefront. And up on the internet today, we have millions of what they call selfies. Now, there's nothing wrong in taking a picture of yourself, but you see, the idea is, this is the promotion of me. Wherever I am promoting me. This is the selfie age. Of course, the reality is, from the gate of Eden, it has always been the selfie age. Man likes to promote self. I want to say to all of you tonight who profess the Lord's name, if your Christianity doesn't cost you anything, it doesn't mean anything. Has being a Christian cost you anything in the past week? Has it meant you've had to inconvenience yourself? Has it meant you've had to come out of your comfort zone? Has it meant that you've had to suffer a loss? Has being a Christian cost you anything in the past week? If it hasn't cost you anything, it hasn't meant anything. We live in an age in which people will not come out of their comfort zones. But I'm going to put it again to you, because Jesus put it to his disciples. If any man or woman will come after me, let him deny himself. And then he went on to say, it entails daily devotion to service, because the individual not only has to deny self, but take up a cross. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was led away to be crucified, the Bible tells us that they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. Simon was just, as it were, in the way that day. And he was asked to bear the greatest cross of all, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little did he know the eternal privilege and honor that was being placed upon him. He was being asked to bear the Savior's cross. But you and I likewise, as we daily follow Christ in discipleship, we are asked to bear his cross. Those inconveniences, those prices that we have to pay for being a child of God, those are the crosses that the Lord lays upon us. And it is an honor, brethren and sisters, if we could only see it like that. It is an honor when the Lord gives us his cross and he asks us to bear his cross for him. That is part of daily discipleship. It is bearing the cross of the Savior. There are some believers and they have to bear the cross of sickness. They have to bear the cross of poverty. They have to bear the cross of slander. It is an awful thing when the good name of a brother or sister is slandered in the countryside. When people make little of those who are the Lord's. There are those who have to bear such a cross. There are those who are led into difficult providences. This is a cross they have to carry. I talked to some people in recent years. I don't know how they carry the crosses that God has put upon them, but it is part of daily discipleship. The cross that Simon of Cyrene bore, it was heavy. It weighed upon him. It pressed down upon him. And maybe tonight the cross that you are bearing, it weighs heavy upon you and is burdening you down. But you know, it's the greatest privilege in the world if it's the cross of Christ to bear it for the Savior. There are many, and they want to wear a crown. And they want to get to heaven and to walk all around and to put on the crown, as the little children's chorus says. But there's no mention of the cross. There's no mention of suffering for Christ, paying the price of being his disciple. This text reminds me that daily discipleship gives needed direction to the saint. Follow me. That's all Jesus said. That's all he ever said. Follow me. And that's all he's calling you and I to do, to follow him. We're to take up our cross daily and follow him. It's easy to follow Christ, of course, when everything is going well and when the going is smooth. It's a different thing entirely when there are difficulties and when there are challenges that lie ahead. When we meet those stormy patches, when we come into those dark valleys, when our mind is full of doubt and fear, that's the difficulty in following. But nonetheless, we're called to follow. I commenced with the young people on Friday night a little study of walking with God. Jeremiah Burroughs, lovely little Puritan paperback book, Walking with God. One of the verses that really came to life to my own heart again was in Psalm 23 and verse 4. We're called to walk with God in difficult circumstances. Don't give up the walking because the valley is ahead of you. Because the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none evil, for thou art with me. Valleys are of different duration and different length and different depth. Some people go into the valley of the shadow of death. It's as if they're just going into it and they reach the summit on the other side. Some people have to linger in it for a long time. But this is the promise. Keep on walking in it. Keep on progressing in it. Don't give up in it. That is what God encourages us to do tonight. Regardless of the circumstances, keep walking with him. In concluding this great chapter, the Lord Jesus told the story of three very hesitant disciples, and it's recorded here in verse 61 and verse 62 of the last one. And he said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house." What did Jesus say? "No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The word there means suited. Suited for the service of God. Suited for the service of the kingdom of God. He warned about those who would turn back. Maybe I'm speaking to some person tonight and you turn back from following the Lord. You have turned back. Maybe you said, you're here in a worship service, but in your heart of hearts you've turned back from following the Lord. The devil's been whispering in your ears, "Too tough up ahead, turn back. Our lions up ahead, turn back," just as in Pilgrim's Progress. But I want you to hear the word from the Master tonight. Don't turn back. Keep pressing on. Even if it's just today. Oh, I can only just even bear of thinking about today. If you've made progress today, that's discipleship. It's daily discipleship. Taking up the cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ just day by day. Go with me to our second text, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. This great chapter all about the resurrection. Of course, to have a resurrection, there has to be death. And here's the Apostle Paul. He said, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Here we're taught about daily mortification. Dying to sin. Here is another essential part of this progress in holiness. The practical and the spiritual application of the text is very illuminating. There's this progressive work within the heart and life of the believer, and it's emphasized here in the life of the great Apostle Paul. This is how he made progress. He said, "I die daily." We know how difficult death is. The majority of here tonight have watched loved ones die. They've been with loved ones when they have died. We know death is a great enemy, and it is a great battle, and yet in our own spiritual lives we're called to die daily, to die to the flesh, to die to sin, to die to self. And to die to sin and self is what the Bible calls in Romans 8 and verse 13, it is to mortify the flesh. Mortification just simply means to put to death. And we are to put to death the sins of the flesh as we live unto Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 6 that mortification follows on from the fact of our union with Christ. A soul is united to Christ, and in union to Christ, then that soul can die unto sin. If the soul is not united to Christ, the soul will continue to live in sin, regardless, and indulge in sin. I said this morning, I'm going to repeat again tonight, when the Lord Jesus saves someone, it is from sin. He saves them from sin, not to continue in sin. So that individual united to Christ is enabled to die to sin in order that it might progress in holiness and in the paths of righteousness. As we learn to appropriate the victory of Christ at Calvary over sin, then we're enabled more and more to mortify our fleshly members. Dr. Paisley's father, old Pastor Paisley, one of his great phrases was that believers ought to daily step into the victory of Calvary. It's a wonderful phrase. Daily stepping into the victory of Calvary. There on that cross of Calvary, Jesus fought my battle. There on that center cross, he overcame and he defeated the enemy. And through him overcoming, I can overcome. and I can know victory. Maybe you are assailed by sin tonight. Maybe you are assailed by some habitual sinful pleasure from your ungodly days, and it still dominates your life and dominates your thinking. What are we to say to you tonight? Step into the victory of Calvary. Go back to the cross. It was at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burden of our heart had rolled away. And you go back to the cross when assailed by sin. And you look to the Savior, the one who agonized there in the sinner's place and who bought victory through his death and bloodshedding and resurrection again. Christ died not only to save men and women, but he died that sin would no longer have dominion over men and women. What a glorious gospel truth. Thank God, tonight, dear unsaved soul, there is victory through the cross of Christ for you. There is victory in the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. And there is victory to progress through the blood of the Lamb and to know that progression with Christ and in Christ that only the Lord himself can give. If you turn over just for a moment or two to the book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter 3, here we have one of those lists. We find it in Galatians, as in Ephesians 2, those lists that Paul gives to us of the sins of the flesh. And in verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members. Mortify your members. Put to death these members. Reckon them dead through Christ on the cross. What does he start off with? You and I wouldn't start off with such a thing, but he starts off with sexual sin. Fornication. Is he really speaking to Christians? Yes. Christians are sealed. And he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You go down there to verse 8 and 9, we read, but now ye also put off all these. Anger. Anger's a sin. Some people believe anger is legitimate, but the Bible says it's a sin. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. These are the things that belong to the old man, the old nature. We're to put them off. We're to reckon ourselves dead unto them, and we are to live unto righteousness. We are not to allow the old nature to have dominion over us. And Christian, there is no point you saying tonight, well, that is just me, I can't help what I'm doing. Christ can help you. If you can't help yourself, Christ can help you. That is mortification. That is sanctification. That is progression in holiness. How weak and insipid we all really are. We have to confess, within me there dwelleth no good thing. We can't help ourselves. I can say again tonight, well, we know you can't help yourself, but Christ can help you. Go to him. There is, of course, much more to this aspect of sanctification than we have time to look at tonight. But to die unto sin, inversely also, is to daily live unto Christ. We not just put off the old, we put on the new. Every day we put on the new. We put on the armor of God to stand in the battle, but we also put on the new man. It's like this new garment, but take off the old garment. Colossians 3 verse 10, verse 12 to 14 again. And we put on the new garment. And we put it on in faith. And we walk in the light as he is in the light. This daily battle, it is a battle. Dying unto sin, living unto righteousness. Dying unto the wickedness of sin and self. And living unto the holy righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what daily sanctification looks like. Third text is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is a great expression. We looked at that on our opening Sabbath of the year, day by day, and with each passing moment. Lovely hymn that Ruth sang for us. Here we have the daily renewal of the inward man, day by day. This is an age of much faint-heartedness amongst the people of God. One day, you look out at this pew, and there's a brother sitting in that pew, a sister sitting in that pew, and they're with you. The next day, they're away. We live in a fickle age. Not the first age to have known such fickleness. The inconsistency and the unreliability that abounds amongst the ranks of those who profess to be the people of God is alarming. It is shattering. How can it be overcome? How can this fainting along the way be overcome? Well, the Word of God tells us the inward man needs to be renewed day by day. Day by day, the inward man needs to be renewed. If you're depending on what you get in just 1 hour in church on Sunday, is that going to take you through the week? Is that going to carry you through the other 6 days? Day by day, you need this inward renewal. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you go there just for a little moment, we get an indication of how this is achieved, this inward renewal. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the believers at Ephesus. And he says that God would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a wonderful thought. The inner man strengthened by the Spirit, Christ rooted in the heart, comprehending the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That's all here involved in this daily renewal. How we each one need to pray, like Paul of old prayed for these Ephesian believers, that the Lord would strengthen us by his Spirit day by day. The inner man also needs to be renewed by feeding on the Word of God every day. Not just by the Spirit, but by the Word. In Romans 7:22, Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Have you been feeding on the Word of God day by day? Or have you been skimming? Have you been feasting? Or have you been grazing? Many Christians have no time, they say, even to read the Bible. Let me tell you, if you've no time to read the Bible, you're in dire trouble. You're going to faint. This is a word, this phrase that's used here, day by day, it is an old-fashioned Hebraism, and it conveys to us the truth, the fresh supplies of strength that come daily as they're needed. Illustrated many times in the Bible. There's a wonderful illustration of Joseph in the house of Potiphar and how Potiphar's wife, she tried to ensnare him daily. But day by day, he avoided her and he overcame her. Here's a young man, an opportunity to indulge in sin. No one's going to see him, just going to tell. But day by day, God gave him the strength to win the battle, because he renewed his inward man. Maybe you're near collapsing tonight as a Christian in the meeting. Maybe you're near a fainting point in the meeting. I'll tell you what you need. Your inward man needs to be renewed if you're going to progress on. Well, look at our final text, please. Go over there to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Here we learn, fourthly, that daily we need to be filled by the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. So don't be going to the wine that'll make you drunk. But be filled with the Spirit. Anthony Hokema points out three different aspects of the original Greek meaning of this verse. The verb that's used in the command, he says, is in the plural. In other words, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just for the privileged few, it's for all of the people of God. I am glad when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, all were filled. All were filled. And there's not a Christian here tonight that doesn't need that divine infilling. All were filled. The verb to be filled, it is also in the present tense. And it's worth noting that the present tense, of course, describes in the Greek continuous action. So in other words, it is saying, keep on being filled with the Spirit. You were filled, but you need to be continually filled with the Spirit. Being continually filled with the Spirit. It is the challenge of every new day for the child of God. We sang that little chorus on Friday night here with the youth, but haven't heard it sung in years, but it says in the little chorus, each day is a stranger to me, and in each day which is a stranger to us, we need to take the Lord at his word, and we need to come to him seeking his divine infilling, and nothing but continual prayerfulness and spiritual discipline and watchfulness will enable the believer to keep on being filled. And of course, this verb to be filled, it is passive, and that suggests, let the Holy Spirit fill you. We all tonight are candidates for the infilling of God the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, an hour by hour basis. How? As we yield ourselves to him. As we give ourselves over to him. As we look to him. This daily task of growing and of going with Christ, of increasing in holiness, is the challenge. It's the challenge to every Christian. We are exhorted to daily press toward the mark. Now, Christian, have you been pressing toward the mark? Have you been making progress? Maybe you'd have to confess tonight, in my heart, I know myself to be backslidden. I've lost out with God. The daily discipleship that I started off with as a young Christian, I've left behind many, many years ago. But the Lord calls you to take up the cross afresh tonight. He calls you tonight to take up that cross afresh. Maybe just like Simon of Cyrene, you come into the meeting, maybe expecting something totally different. But the Lord lays this upon you tonight. You need to take up my cross. And you need to start following me afresh. For if you don't do that, there is no progress. We're either going forward or backward. You're not standing still. How long that each one here gathered tonight would go forward. Is this not just a one-off experience? Why you call it the second blessing or in whatever name you put upon it, it's not a one-off experience. It's a daily experience. As we progress and as we go on, and one day you know the journey's going to end. Old Enoch walked with God all of those years, and one day his walking came to an end, and God took him just home to heaven. Oh, may the Lord keep us walking with him to the journey's end until the day he calls us home to glory and to heaven. Let us please unite our hearts together in prayer. We'll close our meeting. Thank you very much for coming to join with us tonight. If I can be of help to anyone, the Lord has spoken to your heart. Either you're a Christian that needs help, counsel, guidance, or maybe you're here unconverted and You need to come to the Lord tonight, and you know that in your own heart and life. Well, if I can help you, just please, I'm urging you to wait behind and to talk with me tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the call of Christ to take up our cross daily and to follow the Savior. We pray, Lord, that every day this week we'll follow thee. We'll pay the price, whatever that price is. You'll help us to pay it. May we not shirk the cross that you put upon us. May we not seek to unload it onto somebody else. But may we be enabled with truth and sincerity to say, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Lord, help us to take up our cross. Help every brother, every sister to be in step with the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be making progress, daily progress, in our walk with God and in our witness for the Savior. And bless those tonight that are backslidden. Lord, we cry to thee for them. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that thou will bring them to thyself, that thou wouldst restore the years that the locusts have eaten away. And Lord, that thou wilt do a great work of restoration. We commend these matters to thee tonight. We thank thee for another day spent in thy courts with thy people and around thy word. As we take our leave of this building, we pray that you'll take us back to our homes in safety and out into the week ahead with the blessing of God resting and abiding upon us for good. Hear us tonight as we offer our petitions in the Savior's name. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of God the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you both now and forevermore. Amen.